Have you ever wondered what happens to the regular people in towns where supernatural battles rage? While the chosen ones with mystical powers save the world weekly, Mikey Mitchell and his friends are just trying to graduate high school without getting caught in magical crossfire. In their small American town, the indie kids, those impossibly cool teens with names like Satchel and Finn, regularly battle vampires, soul-eating ghosts, and now mysterious blue-light entities called the Immortals. Meanwhile, Mikey struggles with debilitating OCD. His sister Mel is recovering from an eating disorder. His best friend Jared happens to be quarter God, though he'd rather focus on his cat sanctuary job. And his crush Henna might be moving to Africa with her missionary parents. When school administrators routinely include supernatural damage in their insurance policies, and students know which parts of campus to avoid because of dimensional portals, the line between extraordinary and ordinary blurs. Yet amid apocalyptic chaos, these teens discover that personal battles with mental illness, family dysfunction, and uncertain futures can feel just as world-ending as any cosmic threat. Mental illness forms the emotional core of this story, portrayed with rare authenticity. Mikey's OCD manifests in counting rituals and compulsive hand-washing that trap him in endless loops. In one harrowing scene, he becomes stuck washing his face repeatedly in Jared's bathroom, crying with frustration and self-hatred, unable to break free despite recognizing its irrationality. Mel's eating disorder is presented without romanticization. When Mikey notices her choosing water over Diet Coke despite having a bottle in the fridge, this subtle detail reveals her struggle. After her heart attack, Mikey helps maintain her health, sometimes needing to feed her when she feels unsafe eating on her own. What makes this portrayal powerful is that these challenges aren't presented as problems to be solved. When Jared offers to use divine powers to heal Mikey's OCD, Mikey declines. "If you heal all that stuff, I'll live the rest of my life not knowing if I could have figured it out on my own." A profound statement about self-acceptance while pursuing healing. The Mitchell family defies literary ideals. Mikey's mother prioritizes her political career over her children, while his alcoholic father embezzled from the family business. Their neglect forces Mikey and Mel to care for each other, forming a bond both beautiful and heartbreaking. When a campaign advisor called Mel fat and their mother didn't fire him, it contributed to Mel's eating disorder. Their mother's focus on her congressional campaign immediately after Mikey's accident further reveals her misplaced priorities. Most devastating is when Mikey's drunk father wakes him at 3:43 a.m., threatening suicide before passing out on his floor, forcing Mikey to sleep on the couch and reversing their roles. Yet, these parents aren't one-dimensional. Mikey's mother occasionally shows genuine care, admitting her political ambition stems from wanting to improve the world for her children. When Mikey confesses his worsening OCD, she responds with surprising support. These complex dynamics reflect reality. Parents are flawed humans who sometimes fail their children. This story celebrates friendship as salvation. Mikey, Mel, Henna, and Jared form a tight-knit group that provides stability their biological families often fail to offer. Jared, with his healing powers, serves as both literal and figurative healer, pulling Mikey from compulsive behaviors, treating his raw skin, and offering reassurance. Their friendship allows for genuine vulnerability. When Jared admits, "I wouldn't have made it without you. I got my dad and I got you and I need you both," it reveals how essential their connection is to his survival. Mikey and Mel protect each other fiercely, with Mikey monitoring her recovery from an eating disorder while Mel defends him against others. When Mikey and Henna sleep together, they discover they love each other deeply, but not romantically. It's love, but it's a different kind. This mature realization that friendship can be as valuable as romantic love is rarely portrayed so honestly in young adult literature. Sexuality is presented as fluid rather than a crisis. Mikey's bisexuality, his attraction to both Jared and girls, is simply part of who he is, not a plot point. when Jared reveals he loves Nathan, it isn't a dramatic coming out, as everyone except Mikey already knew. Mikey's hurt stems from being the last to know something important about his friend. Each character approaches identity differently. Jared eventually accepts his divine heritage, agreeing to become a deity after college. Hannah fights for independence from her parents' expectations. Mikey's identity has been shaped by his mental illness and role as his sister's caretaker, feeding his fear of being the least wanted person. When Mikey declines Jared's offer to heal his OCD, it marks self-acceptance, acknowledging these challenges as part of himself while choosing to face them on his own terms. As Hannah reflects, "I wonder if realizing you're not sure about stuff is what makes you a grown-up." While supernatural elements serve as background, they also function as metaphors for real threats. Blue-eyed police threatening Mikey and Hannah represent abusing authority, while zombie deer reanimated by blue light symbolize how trauma keeps painful experiences unnaturally alive. When Mikey's grandmother mistakes him for Philip due to Alzheimer's, he notes the disease's reality bears no resemblance to sanitized movie portrayals. Ordinary suffering can be as devastating as fictional apocalypse. Adults' willful forgetting of supernatural events mirrors how they often minimize teenagers' problems. When a half-drunk officer dismisses their account of Finn being chased by a glowing girl, it echoes how teenagers' concerns are frequently invalidated. The indie kid's recurring battle against the immortals suggests some conflicts will always return. Satchel's tearful, "I don't know why it always happens to us," and Mel's response that "everybody's got something" connects extraordinary struggles with the universal experience of facing personal demons. In a world where indie kids battle cosmic forces while others simply try to survive, this story explores, if you're not the chosen one, how do you find purpose? Purpose emerges through connections. When Mikey helps his sister during her eating disorder relapse, or Jared comforts Meredith after the concert explosion, these acts of love create significance in an indifferent universe. There's meaning in survival itself. Mel wants to live long enough to really live, while Mikey's choice to manage his OCD rather than accept a magical cure shows that working through difficulties has inherent value. By focusing on background characters, the story argues everyone's experience has narrative worth. When Hannah says, "I've never been happier not to be an indie kid," she acknowledges ordinary lives remain meaningful. The final image, friends watching their school burn, uncertain but together, captures this philosophy. As Mikey reflects, "I know if I need saving, they'll be there, but I also know I might not need it quite so often." Meaning comes not from saving the world, but from navigating life connected to those we love.